Thank you for downloading this documentary from RTE Radio 1. For more information, visit rte.ie/docon1.
Well, Seamus, here we are, standing here just on the entrance to the ballroom floor, looking to the stage and getting prepared for tonight, the last night with Big Tom. Looking around brings back a lot of memories over the years. We have the ladies here on the right, along with the bear on the right, and we had an old mineral bear up on the top left-hand side, on the along the just the top of the left-hand alcove. And as I walk in here this evening, it makes me sad to think that this is the end of an era. I never thought it would come to this. I never thought in my time that I would see dancing finish. I never thought I would see this type of ballroom closed down. Indeed, they've closed down all over the country. But I'm talking about in the last 5 years. I knew it was inevitable. But 10 years ago, in the halcyon days of the 60s and 70s, I never thought that I'd see such a change in the entertainment values. Of course, it's all a swing over to drink. And I'm very sad tonight. I think that this is the last time I'll come in here and polish the floor or throw the crystals on the floor and clean it up afterwards, and that it's all over after 48 years.
You know what we're going to start off with. If you're lonesome at your table, you're welcome here to a rousing recital for Big Tom.
The 50s. An austerity signified by hobnail boots and drab, four square buttoned coats, lumpy dresses, TB, odours of abstinence and poverty. A regimented, authoritarian era of Lenten duty, of regulated and strict observance of holy feast and fast days, and devotion to the sacraments. Testing Easter ceremonies and Corpus Christi processions provided passion and spectacle, frankincense to purify the journey of the host, a parade enacted at the sombre tempo of prayer. The transatlantic passenger ship, the mail boat and the cattle boat were the means of exile from a low-wage, stagnant, wet country. Money was scarce, and families were large. But if there was buttermilk and obligation most days, there was dancing on Sunday nights. The glamour of the ballroom, a release from duty under a spotlit mirror that spangled the dancers in a peacock light. Crystals to smooth the steps, precise and formal dance steps, the waltz, the foxtrot, the quick step, in keeping with those upright and rigorous times. The ballrooms were family-run and strict codes of behaviour were observed. No drink. Refreshment was a cup of tea so strong you could dance a foxtrot on it. Formal gowns and best dresses for the women. Starched collars for the men. A necktie. And the good suit with a sodality badge in the lapel.
The father that built it would be older brothers, Nico and Frank and Andrew, Eugene, Paddy and Jerry. They all participated in the building of it here in 1949. I was only very young, so was Eugene. But from the very opening night, I worked here. I worked as a cloakroom attendant, a helper, I suppose. Then I graduated to the mineral bear. And then I suppose I graduated out to collecting the tickets later on and acting. I won't say a bouncer, because there was no need for bouncers in those days. You're just collecting tickets and the off-box office, of course. And down the years, I've seen an awful lot of changes, increase in admission of prices. The opening night here was 7 and 6, but that was sort of a once-off thing because of the opening night. From 1950 to 1960, it was continuously just at 5 shillings, 25 new p today, 5 shillings of the old money. And then the band start to go on, come on percentage, start looking for 50-50s and 60-40s, and they dictated the price. You had to increase it by a shilling. And then it went to 7 and 6 again. 8 shillings, I should say. And 80p, jumped from 8 shillings into 80p, and then a pound. And I thought it would take a brave man that would move it from a pound, but inside 12 months it was gone to 150. And in the, by the 80s, it was gone to 2 pounds. And then there was, it went to 3 pounds, and then made a huge jump to 5 pounds. With bands demanding more money and guarantees and what have you. You had to have £5. Of course, the numbers started to dwindle then, of course. The great days were over as regards the ballroom scene. The discos had come in there in the 80s, and it started to dwindle rapidly after that.
The smaller dance halls were suspect, inclined to mischief and sins of the flesh. There, men with flashy cufflinks lit untipped cigarettes with chunky Ronson lighters in the hum of sweat and hair oil, fumes of the bottle of stout taken beforehand. The cakewalk and strut of jazz on the American Forces radio, or the hot brassy rhythms imported on shellac and vinyl, were the contrivance of the devil, who is often caught dancing to his music in the more carnally lax dance halls and hops. A girl would look down and see his cloven hoof prancing amongst the sensible women's shoes and men's brogues. But imported American magazines set the fashion for perms and stilettos, paper patterns in the post set home sewing machines singing. The crooners were outflanked by the zest and panache of the showbands, the Flying Carlton, the Clipper Carlton, the Royal Showband.
To open the ballroom was the Flying Carlton from Drogheda. A band called the Flying Carlton from Drogheda. A lot of people mistake them with the Clipper Carlton, but no, this band was before the Clipper Carlton. The Clippers came in 51, 52. But this band was from Drogheda. And how they got the name the Flying Carlton was, they were going to a dance in Cork in snow, and they got broke down and they flew from Dublin, and they called them the Flying Carlton. In 1948 that happened. So they opened the ballroom on the 11th of December 49 to the priceless sum of 7 and 6. And I'd say there was about 800 to 900 in it that night.
Past the ballroom, ticket office and cloakroom, the women tended to one side of the dance floor, the men to the other, in the same way they were segregated in the schoolyard and seated on opposite sides of the chapel. A dance meant a fraught and documented journey across the floor. Are you dancing? Are you asking? I'm asking. I'm dancing. And if you couldn't dance the proper steps, you wouldn't get a partner.
Yeah, well, I was actually at the opening of the Central Ballroom. I can say that. I was at the opening the night it opened. I was here on December 1949. And didn't go to so many dances at the time, like now, you know, but eventually I got to like it. But in 1953, I met my wife. I was introduced to my wife here. And we went out, and we've since got married. We have 7 in family. And must say, I've never seen such a crowd here as is here tonight.
After the national anthem, the cycle or the walk home in the thick, musky perfume of honeysuckle, the rasp of the corncrake in the meadows, and the couplings of the dance hall formally sanctioned at the altar, you may kiss the bride.
From the candy store on the corner, to the chapel on the hill. Two young lovers are longing to go there, and they dream someday.
I'd say 80% of the population around this part take into a radius of 10 to 20 miles. I'd say at least 70% of them, at least anyway, met their wives and husbands and married. At least. It was better than Knock Bureau. Well, you could say that of any ballroom. That was the only meeting place. It was like, where do you meet today? It's in the pub. Where do you have your first date? It's in a pub. That was it. Even the ex-teacher, Albert Reynolds, met his wife in his first date here. He was working in Ballymote at the time, and she was from Ballymote outside Caish. And I believe he met her in a house, but he had his first date in the Central Ballroom.
At 17, it's a thrill to dream someday you will walk hand in hand from the candy store to the chapel.
Well, of course, we're walking up the floor here now, and this is a new floor I put in 1976. It was a bit of a sway in the other old one, but it was some of the joists that had given away, and I decided I'd put in a new floor in 1976. And looking up right over me, we used to have a beautiful lighting called a big spectrola, which threw down multicolour lights all over the place, and it used to be beautiful. Especially when the floor would be polished up and you'd throw the crystals on the floor. Of course, it was all ballroom dancing that time. Slow foxtrots, quick foxtrots, quick steps, old-time waltzes, tangos, all that type of thing. The bands would play all those type of dances. And they'd be all dancing all around. And my God, if you bumped into anybody, you'd be getting a telling off.
Sean Lamass forecast a rising tide that would lift all our boats. CIE, Board Nemona, posts and telegraphs, sugar factories to stir the economy. Men slugged from the neck of a bottle at the mineral bar and limited their quarrels to politics with the odd jealous contest over a woman.
And you would have the odd bit of a scuffle, like, you know, might be a guy with a few bottles of stout or something like that. And funny enough, it'd be always over women that someone might have taken someone's partner or board, as they call them today. But it'd be very, very, be over nothing to be few locals and possibly involved, like, you know. But apart from that, there was no need for bouncers. You'd just walk up and separate them and give them a warning, and that'd be the end of it. It'd be only just pushing and shoving, as not as fisticuffs as such, like, you know, getting a hold of one another and that type of thing. And apart from that, there was never any trouble.
Yankee parcels arrived from relatives who had made good in Chicago, Boston and New York. John F. Kennedy in the White House. At home, girls still had to walk or cycle to the ballroom, but secretly they were Jacqueline Kennedy. Everyone let their hair down for Dickie Rock. Wavelengths changed. Radio Luxembourg blared from the portable transistor radios, and Brendan Boyer brought us the Hucklebuck. Are you dancing? Ask me sister, I'm sweating. The smell of burning fabric came from women's brassieres, and diesel smoke from condom lawbuster trains across the border. An impish gay burn on the black and white pie television fueled the debate. In came thigh-high boots, mini-skirts and mini-miners. On our tongues, the Eucharist vied with the pill. "What do you think about sex in Ireland?" the reporter asked. And the old man said, "I think it's here to stay."
Huckenbach was amazing. We didn't realise its potential, actually, because at the time, 45 singles were the vogue, and the old vinyl 45. And we went into the studio to record. I ran all the way home, which we spent about 2.5 hours doing during the recording session. And in the last half an hour to spare, we rattled off the Huckenbach, which we had been using as a dance number. And that's, I think, the attraction of the Huckenbach. It was a great dance number. And we thought it would also be a great, shall we say, B-side to I Ran All The Way Home. As it happened, the Huckenbach became the A-side, a triple A-side, if you want to call it that. But I think that it was a simple song, three chords, a great beat. And as they would say, the United States, cute lyrics. And I think the whole simplicity and the beat were the success of the Huckenbach. The Clipper Carlton were about at the time, and they were loosely described as a show band. But we were the first actually to use the word, and we came along and called ourselves the Royal Show Band. So we were deeply conscious of the word show. And we included many things. You said jumping around. I would do an Elvis Presley set and try and be close to Elvis in the moves and everything. Remember, there was a lot of youth involved in those days too. And we even did comedy, you know. I mean, we took the word show band seriously. I believe in later years that the show band word became much maligned because just anybody just got together, just called themselves a show band. But it lost all meaning at that towards the end of the 60s. There were some great show bands in the literal sense of the word. And I would hope to think the Royal was one of them. You've got to remember, in the late 50s and in the early 60s, the whole social activity of the country was nearly in the boredom. There wasn't any music in the bars. And not until maybe the mid-60s when the ballads came in, and maybe a bit later rock and roll. But then Radio Luxembourg was so popular, beaming into everyone's home. You know, television not in most of the country until 63. So I was the closest thing, I think, that they had to Elvis Presley, that a homegrown boy to Elvis Presley or Cliff Richard maybe in England or whatever it was, because the Beatles hadn't arrived even at that stage. And so, I mean, I think the girls probably related to having somebody, a homegrown boy, in the absence, I'll have to say, of maybe a lot of others. You know, it was just that I was in the right place at the right time, shall we say.
Ireland laid the blanket on the ground with Philomena Begley.
Come and look out through the window. That big old moon is shining down. Tell me now, don't it remind you of a blanket on the ground?
I heard Blanket on the Ground for the first time on an American Forces program, and they used to do a lot of country music, and it was I don't know who was singing it at that particular time, but Tony Lachman was managing me at the time. It was around about 74, the end of 74 75, and there was a fella in America that Tony knew, and he rang him the next day and he told him to get on the ball and look for this record. And we had it in Ireland very short time later. As soon as it arrived in Ireland, I got into the studio and recorded it. And it took off right away. It would be one of the most popular songs that I would get everywhere. Every night of the week, every night you go out, from the day and hour I recorded, same thing. Sing Blanket on the Ground. I don't know what it was, it just took off. It was just lucky, and then it just happened to be there at the right time. And I was very lucky that there were, you know, the people sort of accepted me. for what I was. I didn't. I just went on and did my own thing. I didn't really style myself on anybody in particular, because Hank Williams was the first singer I heard, and I couldn't really style myself on him. And I just sort of got my own identity, and people then got, you know, you'd meet a lot of people, and it used to be the other would come, the same crowd would come. If you were in the area at all, you would get that same crowd all the time. And still, you would still get that crowd that used to come. For instance, last night I was playing in Cavan. I got a lot of people that I hadn't seen for years that come back just to see, probably to see what way I was I coming in on the Zimmer frame.
Country lads in their white, open neck, haymaking shirts, sports jackets and sideburns were led out onto the floor by eager dance partners, cresting new won freedoms and boiling inside big polo necks and pleated skirts. This was the heartland of jive. The man bent at the waist, his backside pushed out and beer belly dropped low below the belt, while a jiving partner spun like a top around a casually outstretched hand. The woman in an ecstasy of twirls, while the man offered only a token shuffle and the merest swivel of the wrist. Philomena, Margot, the Cotton Mill Boys, Brian Call, Rolly Daniels, Ray Lyman, and Big Tom.
Dancehall was probably the only place that time where there was entertainment. You know, it was the big place where, you know, where Bay met Yerl and that. That's where they all met years ago. And you know, I do meet people every night and come and tell me that they met their husband or he met his wife at a dance of ours, you know, years and years ago. And now they have probably the family dread and they're back out dancing again. But there's places that you would get near enough hysteria, you know, and people clapping and girls squealing, and it was something that I suppose all the bands will always remember. You know, the 60s and 70s. It was a great time, like for the bands.
Well, I have some fantastic memories of the Central Ballroom in Charlottetown. Some very, very good memories of some of the best memories of my life was back to this very, very ballroom. And 20 years on, to be here tonight is just magic. It's one of the highlights of my life, and that's really been truthful. And to the Welch family and all the great bands that played here, and the whole era of the 60s, the 70s was just incredible. It was a great time to be alive, and it was a great time to be out and about. And the big change in Ireland came at that time, and it came here in Charlottetown. And believe it or not, and there's a lot of people out there that'll hardly believe it, there was just a mineral bar here, and everybody enjoyed themselves so well. There was, everybody came here, the best band in the country played in this very, very venue. And we made some great friends, lifelong friends here, you know. And the dances here brought people together. And Thursday night, we cycled here to this, these venues. You know, 7 miles from Trevor Curry, where I come from. And we all came up here to this dance hall. And we see bands like Brendan Boyer, and it's great to be back tonight and see Big Tom playing here, magic. And believe it or not, at a dance in Gaul where Big Tom and met my wife. You know, and you know, it all adds up to you just asked earlier on if many people met. I think most people met through the dance hall. We worked hard, we enjoyed life, you know, and caught in the drug or drink culture. It was mineral bar culture. It was a time that people really enjoyed themselves, and didn't cost an awful lot to enjoy yourself, you know, and the people really did.
Show band tour buses roved in a crazy zigzag all over the country. Tipperary one night, Donegal the next, Clonmel the following night, followed by Charlestown. From there to Cavan and back to Pontoon. The country had gone decimal. Women swooned to the Swarbrick brothers.
If ma could see me now, drinking my wine, smoking my cigarettes. If ma could see me now, what in the world would she say?
Unisex long hair, neckerchiefs and cheesecloth shirts, wedges and platforms infiltrated the ballroom dress code, and we thought we were gorgeous.
And where is the lad who called to his dad to tell him the county score? If Pa could see me now, would she accept all of the change in me? If Ma could see me now, what in the world would she say?
And a very big night. I used to have the balcony opened, and I would go up just to keep an eye that everything was in order, and the band would call out a tune, and there'd be such a rush across the floor. Many a time I thought they'd drive the women on the wall out the far side with the rush. Really and truly, it was amusing when I look back. And that went on for years. And even though there was quite a lot of couples that always sit on the left-hand side where the alcove was for the sitting out, and we had sitting out on the right-hand side. Now, it didn't mean that there was 100% women. There always a few men there, but for some reason, and it was in every ballroom, was the same. The men would be on one side, and the ladies, just the way it congregated, like the way they congregated when they came in, of course. The women used to be always in the 60s, I must say, or right up, 50s and 60s. They'd be all come in well dallied up with makeup and lipstick and all that, and flare skirts and what have you, ballroom dresses and all that. But I saw an awful change in the 70s. All that started to change with the introduction of the denim wear and the sneakers and all that. And they came more ready. And the gents, of course, would be always dressed up with suits and ties and all that, but that all changed in the 70s. They'd come with the denims and the sneakers too. The gents also came that way. And it was very noticeable that the women weren't making any, wearing any makeup in the 70s.
We met here in the Central Ballroom, possibly 1977. That's where we first met, dated, and... The only thing I remember is I'd a broken leg at the time, was in plaster, but the flares was in and I could cover it after a few drinks, so it was all right. And so I still maintain to her today that I picked her up with a broken leg, and there's no problem. She reckons she took pity on me.
Joe Dolan sweated up a fever in skin-tight shirts, lime green, sky blue and Pentecostal purple three-piece suits. The fans wriggled and screamed.
When God created the world what a woman could be, when he created a woman like you.
It was a boom time for small builders. Hard work and hard drinking met head on. It was an essential part of any good night out to see some man return to the dance with his face broken, while his opponent hugged a private darkness out the back and spat warm blood. The victor and the vanquished, both too drunk to feel any pain. Behind every dance hall and canvas marquee, there was a dim arena where shadow men fell over ropes in the dark, swung wild punches and lost a tooth from a dirty uppercut, while Tweed, or the Memories, did a cover version of a sweet number to the war cry. The man at the back said everyone attack, and it turned into a ballroom blitz. Men who had loaded up with beer before the dance stood in front of the stage with a pub grub burger across in their mouths to stare up at Sandy Dusky, Gina, Dale Hayes and the Champions.
Incredible angel they had was found to be quite unable to fly.
There's no rust on that body. She'd flattened more meadows than a diesel 20. And the young ones yelled, "Spit on me, Dickie." A four-track of Smokey's greatest hits and a splash of Brute aftershave, and you couldn't go wrong. Unless the man with the car keys was missing.
Wow, me, oh my, you make me sigh. You're such a good-looking woman. When people stop, when people stare, you know it fills my heart with pride. You watch their eyes. They're so surprised, they think you've fallen out of heaven. And if you listen to what they're talking about, who's
The wear and tear when country stars began to show in booze and tranquilizers and gin and Ativan. The country was riven by civil rights tensions, the bogeymen of sectarian murder, the Miami show band gone down. The managers, the handlers, the promoters, the poor-mouth ballroom owners who counted their takings every week sensed they were over the peak.
One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time.
But no one ever imagined an oil crisis, the breathalyzer, or the recession, or being sued for compensation. How could anyone who had only been looking for a chance to redden his knuckles behind the dance hall be brought to court on a charge of grievous bodily harm? Compensation set in after every brawl. Men were put off the road for a year for drunk driving. Motor insurance, petrol, the price of the pint, the heating bill in the ballrooms went through the roof, the same place most of the heat went. Crowds defected to the warmth, comfort, fully licensed and fully seated singing lounges. Jumbo, flat-roofed extensions added to the beauty-boarded pubs. The back pages of the Leitrim Observer, the Roscommon Herald, the Longford Leader, the Sligo Champion, the Donegal Democrat, the Western People, the Connacht Telegraph, were crammed with the names of pub bands and a flotilla of low-rent country and western outfits driving estate cars loaded down to the axle with band gear as they travelled from one flat-roofed singing lounge to the next at a fraction of the cost of the show bands.
We'd have got a fair amount of, married couples at that time, like, you know, maybe older teenagers and that. But you got the younger people as well, because that was the form of entertainment, and the girls met the fellas, and the fellas met the girls there, and there was nowhere else to meet them, you know. It was the big thing, like, and after that, when the discos came in, and there was more form of entertainment and television and all this sort of thing. It's, people keep talking about these days ever come back, but I don't think so. Unfortunately, places where people enjoy themselves at the moment, like, they're a far cry from what the dance halls was. Like, the strongest you'd get there would be a cup of tea or a mineral and that, you know. But, now it's more stronger stuff in all the places, you know. I think you might be trying to run a dance like in the 60s and 70s nowadays, without bar facilities and a bit of comfort, probably, you know, and soft seats and that sort of thing. The dance halls were that's where they fell down, you know. There was a row of seats probably around the wall. And a few seats where you could sit down maybe and have a mineral or that or a cup of tea. But people, I think, got used to going into maybe hotels and more comfort and that sort of thing. But sure, I suppose that's progress or whatever.
Are you going to sing? No? Yeah? Give you a big chance.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine.
Then the 80s hit. One spirit-bruising blow followed another. Relentless factory closures, economic starvation, emigration by the many and entrenchment by the few. A generation scattered, an abortion and a divorce referendum. Discos and late bars, the birdie song at weddings, moving statue hysteria in the unceasing rain. Yet the ballrooms hung on, and women who had known the life of dim lights, thick smoke and loud, loud music had in fact married home-loving men. With the children reared, they returned to the dance floor. Big Tom came out of semi-retirement. The jive had weathered better than religion.
Well, he plays music you can dance to, and he's always played that kind of music. And the fellas in his band, they recognise you from dance to dance, and they'll speak to you and they'll say hello to you. Other bands now, the bands on the roads now, they just finish their gig and they get off the stage, whereas Big Tom and the Mainliners would stay behind and they'll talk to you and they'll ask you about your family, and they're really interested in you as a person, not just your £6 at the door.
Old-time pubs are back in fashion. With fortunes outlaid on bare stone walls and slate floors, exposed rafters, brass fixtures, antique lanterns and ceramic whiskey jars. Selective nostalgia. A bogus reworking of a time and place that never was. The effect as ridiculous as the now despised 70s decor.
I'm delighted to be back here, but sadly there's another downside to it. There's walking through that door tonight, it's just magic. It took me back 20 years because I was here. The last time I was here was Brendan Byer and Tom Dunphy, and the Big Ace was here. And sadly, the great Tom Dunphy died in a car crash only 2 days after playing here on a Thursday night. And walking through that door tonight, I thought of him, and I thought of I won't name them all, but so many good friends that passed away since, that's not here tonight. But on the other hand, there were so many great friends that I met here tonight, and I continue to meet here tonight, and everybody's really enjoying themselves, having a great time. And such a great credit to the Welsh family that have brought so much enjoyment and so much entertainment and so much happiness to so many people over so many years.
As the ballrooms close down, the trapped reek of damp is an eerie reminder of the waft of frankincense from a long-gone era. Lives now as improvised as the way we dance. Jive, folk, trad, disco, the Hucklebuck. And if he puts pep in your step, Big Tom.
Everybody, man.
Oh, don't think you can turn back the clock. I don't think so. Like, I suppose we had our day, and we enjoyed it.
If you've enjoyed this documentary, you might like to try other RTE Radio podcasts. Visit rte.ie/radio/podcast.